From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns has been preaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Now that the canon of Scripture is closed, there is no need for such supernatural demonstrations as the apostles performed in the book of Acts. We've seen that miracles were always related to God's revelation of redemption, but God is not now revealing something new. At the same time, however, Dr. Cairns is going on to show that every one of the New Testament gifts has its reflection in a real, ongoing ministry of the Spirit in the church today. This is seen in the power given to preach the gospel, the giving of faith to believe the word preached, as well as in a variety of other gifts, such as discernment of spirits, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. These are the gifts of the Spirit being manifested in the church today. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message shortly. First, he takes time to answer a very vital question. As Christians, is it right to pray for our sins to be forgiven? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
I've heard the question, in fact, I've heard it as more than a question, I've heard it sometimes put as a very dogmatic opinion, that once a person is saved, his sins are so forgiven, past, present, and future, that it's wrong for a Christian to ask God for forgiveness. Well, we've got to back up here and find out, what does the Bible say? Anytime anybody thinks he's wiser than God, he's a fool. So let's start from there. Jesus said to his disciples, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven," and so on. And then he says, "Forgive us our debts," or "Forgive us our trespasses." He also said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, then your Father in heaven won't forgive you your trespasses. Now come to the Apostle John. The Apostle John was writing to people who were already forgiven. They were already saved. And yet he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the very next chapter, he goes on to tell us the basis of that assurance is that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He's the sacrifice of appeasement of the wrath of God for our sins. So the Bible commands those who have received salvation to ask for the forgiveness of sins. So is there a contradiction here? No, there's not. When you receive Christ as your Savior and you pass from death unto life, you have received pardon and you've received the imputed righteousness of Christ. You stand complete in Him. Your sin is dealt with as to its guilt, as to your standing before God, as to your acceptance with God. That is settled forever. Your relationship to God is settled once and for all. When you receive Christ, it's settled by Christ at the cross. You receive it in your experience by faith. But there's a world of difference between relationship and fellowship. Take an example from everyday life. When you were born of your father and your mother, you became their child, they became your parents. That's the relationship. Now, no matter what happens, that's still the relationship. That's it. It's settled. I'm sure, however, there have been times when the fellowship has been strained because of somebody's sin, usually the child's. So, you've known what it is to have a relationship that is settled, but a fellowship that is strained. And certainly that's the case with many a Christian. They find that they cannot pray, they cannot enjoy God's presence, they cannot enter into the enjoyment of promises fulfilled, they don't know the peace and the power of former days because of disobedience, because of known sin. Well, we're told, confess it, and the Lord is willing to forgive, and you'll restore the fellowship. The relationship is settled once and for all, but the fellowship is an ongoing thing, day by day, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to answer the question, why should Christians whose sins have been forgiven come back during their life and ask for forgiveness? Fundamentally because the Savior commands it, and secondly because our own conscience demands that we have nothing outstanding that would hinder or mar the enjoyment of a close personal fellowship with our Savior.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum, located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Wonder why people talk about the gift of healing. There's never a man in the history of the world outside of the Christ of God himself who has had the gift of healing. The Bible never speaks of the gift of healing. It always speaks of gifts of healing. Now, undoubtedly, there were people, and to them God gave a special gift that at times when His Spirit revealed it to be the will of God, they could heal a person. I wonder how often Peter and John walked past the man at the beautiful gate. I don't have any reason to believe that Acts 3 was the first time they ever saw him. After all, he was there every day. I can't believe that was the first day they used the beautiful gate into the temple. Can't believe that at all. I wonder how many times they saw him. And they didn't heal him. You see, there came the time when God, by His Spirit, imparted a supernatural power. They had that power. That power is not in the church today. But there is healing according to the will of God. And here's the thing. The exercise of the miraculous gift was according to the will of God. How much more the exercise of what we could call a more normal healing ministry. Now, of course, if God heals a person who otherwise is going to die, you and I may call that a miracle. doesn't qualify as miracle in the biblical sense. If you're the receiver, of course, you're not wanting to split hairs and define words. You just thank God that he did it. But nonetheless, there is a way. God says, for instance, in James chapter 5, call for the elders of the church, they anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. Now that's a promise. It's a promise to be received by faith. And faith itself is the gift of God. This is not just a cover-all that God says that here's a promise and you don't need any special faith to take it at all. That's not true. James 5 is not a way of God saying Christians need never die. It's not saying that at all. But it is saying that according to his will, there is healing. Of course, that means, as it meant even in New Testament times, according to his will at times, there is not healing. Then it talks about working of miracles. This is the energy. This was supernatural energy. When Paul smote Elymas blind, that was a miracle. We don't have that today. But I do want to tell you, we have the energy of the Holy Spirit of God nonetheless. And in the spiritual realm. In other words, what I'm trying to show is that what here is mainly in the physical to validate what was going on in the spiritual is to us something that takes place in the spiritual realm. The power to work for God in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Prophecy. What is that? It's the power to preach. In fact, when Paul was writing to Titus, he used that term of heathens who were speaking their beliefs. This is the very heart of prophecy. It is to preach. That's a gift we need in the church today. Is the discerning of spirits. There were in the New Testament church men who had a supernatural revelation to look to the very heart of things. We don't have the miracle today, but my, we need discernment. How do we get discernment? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, you try the spirits according to that word. That's how you do it. They had the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Well, to us, I certainly would be very, very happy to have a tongue that can make sense of the gospel to men who otherwise wouldn't understand it. That's the spiritual heart of the gift of tongues. I'm not interested in sitting in a prayer meeting babbling that a language that is known to neither God, man, nor devil. Not interested in that at all. But oh, for a tongue that can make Christ known. That's the heart of the gift. The interpretation, certainly to make sense of the gospel. Bless God, he can give us this. In verse 28, he adds helps and governments. You don't often think of that as a gift of the Spirit, do you? To be a helper in the work of God. The word governments means, comes from the word that means a helmsman, a steersman. It's an organizer, a manager. You don't often think that that's a spiritual part of the church's work. To have somebody who is doing a managing job, organizing people and things. In Romans 12 and 6, he adds encouragement or exhortation. That's a gift of the Lord. Let me tell you something. That is one of the most needful and yet one of the rarest gifts in the church today. I remember many years ago in our little church in Mount Marion in the outskirts of the city of Belfast, we had a man who has since gone to be with the Lord. He wasn't a greatly learned man. But I want to tell you, he had a joy in the Lord that I have seldom seen in the face of any man. Jimmy's job in the church, he was a deacon in the church, but his job in the church, it wasn't treasurer. Jimmy couldn't have done the job of treasurer. Not that we had much money to count, mind you, but he still couldn't have done it. Jimmy could never be a preacher. On a one-to-one basis, oh my, he was a brilliant witness, but put him in front of a crowd, and Jimmy had nothing much to say. But we used to have Jimmy standing at the door, and his job was to shake hands with the people coming in. And I want to tell you, you would have travelled 50 miles just to get Jimmy's handshake, just to get the word of encouragement. He always had the word that people needed. Many a time I've thought of Jimmy Edgerton. That's a gift I would love to have. That's a gift this church needs. Encouragement, help. And then there's the giving. You don't think of that as a gift of the Lord, do you? It's not everybody can give. If God has blessed you that you can give, well, we can all give to some extent. But if God has blessed you in such a way that you can really give to God's work and be a big help, therefore, my, that is not a carnal, inferior exercise. That is the gift of the Spirit of God. It's not just that your income and your wealth is the gift of the Spirit of God, but your giving is the gift of the Spirit of God. Then ruling. Not too many churches have much of a gift in their ruling elders. That's a gift. And then, can you think of this? Showing mercy. That's one of the gifts in Romans 12 and 6. Showing mercy. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost operating in the church today. Now, no man is going to have all these gifts. The will of God is that the church should have them all, distributed through its various members. And each one then will serve according to the purpose of God. Verse 7 gives us the purpose here is to profit withal. Or it could be translated for the benefit. What a picture we have here of every man employing the gift that God has given him particularly for the overall benefit of the church and the total body. He goes on to give the picture of the body, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the feet, the hands. If the body were all nose, there'd be a few ugly specimens, wouldn't there? My, you could smell every rose that ever was planted, but you'd die of starvation, wouldn't you? The body cannot be made up just of one member. The gift of the noses, as it were, in the church, the gift of the ears, the gift of the eyes, of the hands, of the feet, they are all imperative that they should work together for the total profit of the body. We ought to learn from this. Ephesians 4:16 speaks of that which every joint supplies towards the compact unity of the body of Christ. You have something to supply to the proper working of the church of Jesus Christ. Let us learn that we despise no gift and no place in the church. Let us learn that we despise no brother because of his place or his gift in the church. And let us learn that we do not despise the providence of God by being grieved at our part in the church. There are Christians who go through life doing nothing for God because they are grieved that they cannot have another brother's gift. I cannot be what he is. I cannot occupy the place that she occupies. Therefore, I do nothing. Sin and a shame. What Christians ought to do, finally, is to pray for the Spirit to use them in the greatest way he sees fit to the glory of God. Covet earnestly the best gifts, but rather that ye prophesy. Whatever your gift, cry to God that he will enable you to be a speaker for Christ. God will so gift you that you will be able to conduct others to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God can empower and employ you. If you can get that much out of this message this morning, if you can get that conviction from God that the Holy Spirit can empower and employ you personally in the operation of the Church of Christ, you'll certainly not have wasted your time. God has not left His church to flounder. He has not left it to founder either. God has promised that every energy we need to serve Christ and to do His will and work is freely available to every Christian and to this church. Let us therefore be on our knees. God, give me to the very fullness the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost that are necessary for me to do the will of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.